We're also going to welcome in Brett Taylor from Alberta Driver, who just won his first professional race in the in NASCAR Pinty Series at Jucasa this past Saturday. Brett, congratulations. Welcome to the show. How you doing?
Good. How are you? Thanks a lot for having me, Jason.
Hey, I appreciate you coming on. So I know you've been racing since 2016. Like a lot of racers, you come in and you don't get to go the full slate right away. You build up to it. And then you finally break through with your first win. You've been on the tour since 2016, Brett. And what have you learned that allowed you to finally get to the top of the podium this past weekend?
Oh, man, you know, there's so much stuff. I don't know if you have enough time on the radio here to hear me go through that whole spiel, but it's, you know what, honestly, it's hard work and it's team. You know, it's there's so much work that goes behind the scenes in being prepared for one of these races, you know, from conditioning to car prep to sponsors to training on sim racing to practicing in any way you can. There's so much going into it, but it was amazing, an amazing experience.
Like any athlete, I think, like a lot of people, you just need experience. You kind of learn as a player how to defend better. As a driver, I don't know. I know drivers in the Pinty Series, you really got to be in tune with your car. And you talk about your team, but you got to be able to tell them what's going right or what's going wrong, and then probably how to understand that properly in the ride so you can make those changes quicker.
You're totally right. You know, you got to trust your butt is what they call it, right? You got to trust what you feel. You got to know what to pay attention to as well, right? So, because not always how the car feels at a certain time is what should drive the changes in the car. And there's so many little changes that you can make in these cars to make them go that little bit faster. You know, like between our pit stop, we added one more pound of air in the right rear tire, and just to help us on the last 15 laps. So 1 pound of air pressure in one tire can make a huge difference, as an example.
Wow. Now, you and I talk all the time. We know each other through the garage. You know, you've come out and done some go-kart racing with us. When we talked before the race, you actually called and predicted that you were going to win. Now, without giving away trade secrets and, you know, some of what happened behind the scenes, why were you so confident? You know, you had one podium leading up to this race. You know, to a lot of people, it seems to have come out of nowhere. But what gave you that confidence to be able to say that? Now, you only said it privately. It's not like you pointed to the, pointed to the fence in right field and called your shot. You didn't do that publicly. But, you know, where did that confidence come from?
You know, this was my fourth race at Jucasa, and we did one test there a couple of years ago. And I've always just been able to connect with that track, and I've always felt that I understood that track. And, you know, we had some good finishes there. Last year, 8th being my best finish there last year, and we were recording fast times. And in spring this year, we were 5th place after 20 laps, and we were faster than the leaders, and a spark plug wire fell off. So unfortunately, we ended up having to race the entire race down one cylinder, still finished 11th, but, you know, I felt that track owed me something, and I've had my eyes set on it all season, and I knew we were going to do everything we could to come there ready to win. And honestly, Colin, I just had a feeling. Like, I just had a feeling all along. I told you, I'm like, Colin, you better come to this race because we're going to be on the podium together.
Brett, you know, confidence obviously is a huge factor. Now, I do want to ask you, how did your boss and teammate take the bump and run for the win?
Oh, man. You know what? So many people have asked me that, and when I first got on EHR, one of the first things me and Jason talked about was, what's the likelihood that we will be racing for a win? And, you know, at the time, I had no wins. I didn't even have a podium at that time. But it was pretty cool of Jason to entertain that conversation even. And, you know, then the owner walked up while we were talking about it, and the owner kind of piped in and said, look, guys, you can race each other as hard as you want. There's no wrecking anybody getting into the fence. And the line we're going to draw is you can rub, because rubbing's racing, as much as you want. You just can't push too hard to cause the person you're passing to lose more than just the one position you're passing them for.
Okay.
So that was kind of the line we drew in the sand. And, you know, in addition to that, it was timing, right? Like, you know, we can't race each other that roughly in the beginning of the race. You know, it was literally, me and Jason raced side by side for about 20 or 30 laps. And it was finally the last lap, last corner that we bumped each other. So, or I bumped him, I should say.
it was a gentlemanly pass, and as our good friend Adam Ross called at the time, he said he's never seen a more polite bump and run in his entire life. So well done there to keep that control just enough to nudge him out of the way and to get that checkered flag.
Yeah, thanks a lot. You know, I have to say I was a little disappointed while I was racing him that he wasn't just, like, waving me by. And I was like, come on, man. I'm, like, the new guy on the team. Just let me have the win. But, you know, in hindsight, looking back on it, he raced me as hard as he'd race anybody else for that win, and it made me enjoy it so much better that I was able to race a guy of his caliber, and he gave it everything he could, and I still managed to get around him. And it's a pretty good accomplishment, I think.
So, Brett, what's your plans for next season?
We're going to rebuild my road course car, because a road course car we just have not had good luck with. We're talking about changing our racing completely under the EHR brand, which would probably mean me changing my car number, which would be a good thing, but also a little sad at the same time. But we're going to race full time next season, and we are going for a championship.
Well, Brett, congratulations on your first win, and hopefully the first of many. Thanks for your time.
Thank you guys so much.
That's Brett Taylor from Alberta. He's the first Western Canadian winner on the NPS Series this season. So, Colin, that's obviously big. So now let's get to some of the other things. Vettel retired early this week. What did you make of that that whole how things went down there?
It was crazy to watch. This past weekend, F1 was racing in Sochi, Russia. Same basic area that they held the Olympics at. There's a lot of Olympic venues that you see on the TV coverage. It was crazy because what's unique about Sochi is once the cars get running, especially from the standing start, the turn one isn't really a turn. It's a bit of a kink in the road. It's almost a kilometer run down to turn two, which is the first hard braking zone. And the issue is whoever tends to be the leader pokes the big hole in and everyone's able to draft. So within the Ferrari garage, they had an understanding. Charles Leclerc won the pole. He was starting from first place. Sebastian Vettel, second place, teammate. They had an agreement, and they knew that Vettel would likely take the toe and be able to pass Leclerc on the first turn. Once things settled down, they were going to use what are called team orders. They were going to swap the cars back and then let the guys go race, because they knew it was, it's essentially an unfair advantage. What happened was, once Vettel got out front, he essentially took the agreement that they had in place, threw it in the garbage, and then started coming up with excuses when the team principal and the car chief start calling in to say, hey, you need to give that position back. He says it's too early in the race. And then they call to him and say, you really need to do this. And he had opened up a big enough advantage that he could start using the argument that he's too far back, he can't catch me. Once Vettel had done that, it's definitely caused some commotion within the Ferrari team, which is really unfortunate. They finally got a little bit of positive momentum going after so many years of bad luck and bad decisions. And now they're definitely fighting internally. But, karma's a funny thing. That when Vettel came in for his pit stop, they let Leclerc run long, which helped him get track position. Vettel came out. He was going to be it was going to be close on the track, but shortly after Vettel's pit stop, he had an issue with his what's called the MGUK, which is what takes kinetic energy and turns it into power in the car. He had a failure, knocked him out of the race. The really unfortunate thing is when Vettel's car failed, they threw what's called a virtual safety car. So the teams, the cars stay on the track. There's no actual car, but they're forced to reduce their speed to 60% of race pace. Lewis Hamilton hadn't made his stop, so he basically got a free stop because of the way Vettel's thing happened, which essentially handed the race win to Mercedes, who hadn't really been there. It's going to be really interesting the last couple of races because, as we've talked about, the past few weeks, the championship, the constructors and the drivers championship is essentially wrapped up. So now all these guys are really going for is race wins, and kind of racing for pride in the second, third, fourth kind of, teams on the calendar. So I think it's going to be fairly vicious towards the rest of the year.
We're breaking down the world of the racing with our racing report with Colin Livingston, Canon Torque Racing Report. You know, it seems like the last couple of weeks we've been talking about some pretty significant accidents that happened on the course, and you sent me a video of F2 and one of the ones there, and I was trying to break it down, and I realized I really have known nothing about racing. Who or what was at fault for what ended up being a massive slam to the wall by one of the cars?
So it was really an unfortunate set of circumstances that led to that. That you know, it was on a start. You know, one driver was kind of overly optimistic, which you know, sent a couple drivers off course, which one driver had a mechanical failure and ended up sliding into another one. It was an absolutely vicious hit, which, you know, was sort of reminiscent of the incident that happened at Spa a couple of weeks ago, where, you know, a driver, you know, went into the wall, another driver came in, and there was a secondary impact. You know, fortunately, these guys are okay, but yeah, really, really strange sequence of events to keep having these incidents in F2, where, you know, F3, we saw one guy launch off over the sausage curb and up into the catch fence a couple of weeks ago in Monza. I hope there's one more series of races for F2, and then their season is completed. But hopefully they've got all this bad luck behind them.
Well, Colin, thanks for lining up that guest with Brett. We'll get more into the off season coming up in racing, as well as the playoffs continuing in NASCAR next week. Have yourself a great day.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys.